Welcome this morning to First Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Trey Reed. I'm so thankful you're here worshiping with us. Isn't it great to be in God's house, reaching up in our worship of God this morning? Amen? Amen. I hope and pray that your heart, that your desire, that your passion to see God's name lifted up. We're going to be looking at God's Word this morning, again on stewardship, how God has called us to use the resources He's given us for His glory and His honor. And all that we do this morning is to bring God glory and honor. The songs that we sing, the message that we hear, the offerings that we give, everything we do is to declare, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I would invite you to turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're continuing the second week of 2 weeks, talking about our finances and how God wants us to honor Him with our finances. Last week's message was entitled, "I Don't Have Any Money." And how many of you that title does that resonate with? I don't have any money. Right? Most of us, I think, ironically enough, I didn't see any kids say that. They think they have all the money that they need, right? You don't count as a kid anymore. You got a job, buddy. So I think we can all resonate with this idea. But we talked about last week how, from a biblical point of view, there's not a person on this planet who should not be forced to say, "I don't have any money." Because none of it belongs to us. We talked about how we did not create it. God created all things, and all things belong to Him. And we can't take it with us. Eventually, once we leave this earth, we leave any sort of material possession behind. It all belongs to God, and we're just stewards of what He has given us. So we looked at the example of Joseph, how in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, he was given stewardship over all of Potiphar's house. He did not own any of it, but he managed all of it and certainly had some benefits from it. But his faithfulness in honoring his master is what was most important. Well, this week we have a new message for you. Instead of "I don't have any money," we're going to look at a message entitled "I Still Don't Have Any Money." How many of you all has it changed in 1 week? Now all of a sudden you're loaded and rolling in a bunch of money that you weren't before. Yeah, so this morning's message is entitled "I Still Don't Have Any Money." It's a reminder that it's not ours. It belongs to God and we are stewards of it. But there is a practical part to this as well. We have been given material to steward. Some of us have been given little. Some of us have been given much. Some of us think we have much, but we have little. Some of us think we have little, but we have much. We have been given something by God to steward, and we are asked by God to be good stewards of it. And part of being a good steward of what God has given to us is supporting His work and His mission in the local church. I said last week, and it never, ever fails, anytime I do a message on finances, we have a larger crowd and guests. And the guests typically don't come back. Please come back. We don't talk about money every week, okay? But it's important that we look at the Word of God, at how we are called to steward this money and how we are called to give and support our church family. So the question for many of us is, the number one reason why we don't give to the church or why we don't tithe, and we'll look at that word here a little bit later on, according to the Bible, is because this phrase, "I don't have any money." I have a hard enough time paying bills as it is. I don't have the extra means to give to God than my tithe or my offering. And I still, even after I realized last week that I'm just a steward and that all of it belongs to God anyways, I've got to feed my kids and I've got to keep my lights on. So for most people, the reason why they don't give is because of this idea that we are unable financially to give. We're going to look at this morning several reasons why we should give. We're going to look at what God is calling us to give and the reasons behind our giving. But I want to start off just by looking at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to be at several places, so you can play Bible drill with us if you like. I'd encourage you to turn in your Bible to each of these verses, or you can follow along on the screen. Or if you like to see it in front of you but aren't quite as quick to flip through, now if you have our app or just our bulletin online, you can tap our sermon notes on our online bulletin. It will pull up all of our scriptures this morning for you as well. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 11. And we're going to read several verses in Deuteronomy 8. So starting in verse 11, there's this warning. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his command, the ordinances and statutes I am giving you today. When you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Now, before we go any further, let me explain to you what's happening here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The people have been rescued from the Egyptians, have miraculously crossed the Red Sea, have spent years and years and years wandering around in the wilderness, and are waiting to enter into the promised land. And God says, you have gone from poverty, from slavery, to having nothing, to wandering around for 40 years without a home, and I'm about to give you a place to live. And when you move into this place, you're going to feel as if you are extremely wealthy. I'm going to bless your land. You're going to all of a sudden have some money in your pocket, some gold and silver. You're going to have flocks that you didn't have. You're going to be able to build a permanent residence and have a house. And when you have all of these things that I've given you, when you finally get to the point where you say, man, God's really blessed me, he says, do not forget the God who brought you here. Do not forget that it was God who was providing for you all the way through. The warning over in verse 17 continues. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. The warning is this. When you're at your lowest, you're going to cry out, God, I don't have any money and I need you. And God's going to provide for you. And in your time of wandering in the desert and having nothing, God's going to provide food for you to eat. He's going to give you a means to survive. He's going to bless you according to what you need, even if it isn't the abundance of what you want. And there will come a time that you feel blessed and you say, God, I see where you've met my need. And the temptation is going to be for you to say, look what I have built up. Look how I have saved. Look what I have done. And we forget the God who has blessed us. You see, the people have experienced extreme lows, and they're about to experience extreme highs. And God's command is to be obedient in the high times and in the low times, when you have great wealth and when you have great poverty. God says, I'm asking you, commanding you, to be faithful to me no matter your situation. So this morning, I want to ask a question. Should we continue to give to the church when we don't have the means, or when we don't feel like we have the means to do so? Let me put a caveat in this real quick. I'm not commanding anyone to live in poverty. Okay? Now, I'm not up here. I don't want you to take this out of context and say that preacher at First Baptist Church said, give all your money to the church and the Lord's going to bless you. And he sounds like a TV evangelist. That's not how it works. Okay? I'm not asking anyone to live below what God has given them. I'm not asking anyone to make sure their power gets turned off. I'm not asking anyone to let their kids go hungry. I'm not asking us to be poor stewards of God's money and to the point where we are neglecting our own families. That's not what this morning's message is about. But the question is, even when I don't feel like I have the means to give, does God still want me to give? And the answer to that question is yes. The question isn't, should I let my family do without? The question is, should I give to God what is rightfully His? And so when we feel like we don't have anything to give, why should we continue to give? I've got four principles. If you have your bulletin, you can follow along and fill in the blanks. Four reasons why God wants us to continue to give, even when it stretches us. And the first is this, just matter-of-factly, God tells us to. God tells us to. First and foremost, God tells us in His Word to give, to tithe. We are to obey Him. We are to be obedient in every circumstance, and that includes giving to His mission through the church. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it stretches us and it's difficult, God is always smarter than we are. God's ways are always higher than our ways. Some of you are sitting here thinking this morning's message is not on the tithe, the 10%. It's on giving and being good stewards. But there is this biblical principle of tithing that is established in the Old Testament and continued in the New Testament. And this principle of tithing is that we would take one-tenth of everything we take in and we give it to God. In the Old Testament, it looked like this. You had a field of wheat. You harvested the wheat, and 10% of that wheat went and got taken to the synagogue or to the temple, and it was given to be used and distributed as the church had need. If you had 100 cattle, you would take 10 of those cattle and you would go give them to the church by means of sacrifice or just offering and say, "This is what I have. You can have these 10. A tenth of whatever your resource income was to be given to be used by the temple and the synagogue. It's carried over into the New Testament, where we see once coin money is introduced and currency is introduced, people are coming and they have buckets and baskets where they would drop coins in as they go into worship, presumably being one-tenth of their currency that they've taken in that week, given to God. And so this principle is established in the Old Testament. The question is, we don't live in the Old Testament anymore. Are we still commanded to tithe and give 10%? It's a question that people debate on, people way smarter than you and I debate on all the time. And there are two camps. There's the camp that says that was Old Testament, and so it doesn't apply to us anymore. And there's the other camp that says that applies to us still because it's in the Word of God. And so where do we fall? How do we interpret what we're supposed to obey, what we're not? We eat shellfish that they were commanded not to in the Old Testament. There are some things in the Old Testament that don't carry over. How do we know tithing isn't one of them? Matthew chapter 23, and you don't have to turn there, but maybe you jot down in your notes. It is a story where Jesus witnesses the tithes and offerings given by the Pharisees, the religious people of the day. And they come in and they give their 10%. Says they throw it in there. The Greek word for that balo that you find in there is literally to throw. You can remember that. You throw a ball. They throw it in there. Why? Because they want everybody to hear their coins clinking in there. So they go, and I imagine that they're walking in, and they want everyone to hear what they're doing. So they take that coin. They don't drop it in there. They toss it in there so it clinks and it clangs, and everyone can hear what's going on. And as they're giving it, Jesus has to interrupt them, and he looks at them. He says, "You are hypocrites. You're giving, but you're neglecting some of the more important things like love and justice and caring after others." And immediately we take this verse, or some take this verse and say, Jesus is not concerned about the tithe they're giving. He's not worried about it. They ought to be loving and giving to others. Then Jesus in Matthew 23:23 makes a very important distinction. He says, you should have done the former, that is, giving your tithe, without neglecting the latter, that is, showing love. You should be doing both. You should be giving and giving grace and mercy and love. The commandment continues on into the New Testament. God tells us to continue to give, and we think, God, I don't have any money still. I'm still broke. How am I to give? How is this all going to work out? And sometimes we can't understand God's will for our life. We're called to obedience, but boy, God, I don't see how this will shake up. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God reminds us that my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God knows that tithing is good for us in our obedience, and he commands us to continue giving even when we don't think we are able to. The first principle on why we continue to give is because God tells us to. And when God tells us something is good for us, we have to trust that it is good for us. But secondly, on a practical level, why do we continue to give even when it hurts? Well, secondly, because people need our help. Our tithes provide for the church, which goes to help the people of the church and the people of the community. We do this in several ways. We give to several organizations and missionaries around the world. I think if my count is correct, we have 8 international missionaries, and we support several local missionaries as well that are either missions or individuals within the states that we give money to help others. One thing we do every single year around Christmas time is collect shoeboxes that we pack together and send all over the world through Operation Christmas Child. And I'm excited this year that we're doing that same principle. But this year we get one of our missionaries that we support, the Liggetts in Guatemala, who are doing this project for their community. And they're trying to get 500 packs to give to the children in their community. And so here in the next few weeks, you'll start hearing about us collecting for shoeboxes again. But this year, we get to go and help a specific individual and community that we know and have a relationship with. There are people in our own community that call up from time to time, and they say, I'm really struggling. One lady says, I don't have diapers for my kid. Another one says, I need milk for my baby. Someone else calls and says, my power is going to be turned off. And we have to screen, obviously, and have a process to make sure that everyone is getting help with what they need. But I'm thankful that we have a fund that we're able to help with that. We're able to do ministry to help people's not just physical needs, but their spiritual needs as well. So a lot of our finances go to provide for ministries such as Sunday school, which helps people learn the Word of God, our Sunday morning worship service and the resources that goes into that. We have events such as Autumn Fest that will be coming up the end of October that reaches out into our community to serve them. It won't be too much longer. Well, you'll start to hear about a ministry coming up where we're inviting people from our community to come and make gingerbread houses. Why? Just so that their kids have an opportunity to come in a clean family setting and build family relationships together. We have ministries for all ages, our Quest who meets on Sunday morning, our kids who are learning the Bible and memorizing Scripture, our women's ministry who meets on a monthly basis to do a book study. Another women's ministry, Mom to Mom, which meets every other Tuesday to minister to moms in our community. By the way, that one is reaching beyond our church. I'd say over half of the ladies who come do not attend our church, and many of them don't attend anywhere. So we continue to give because there are people in our community and around the world who need our help. James 1:27 reminds us what real religion is. James says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself undefiled by the world. When we read James 1:27, we focus our pure and undefiled religion on that last phrase, to keep us undefiled from the world. Many people focus on that and pull away and say, okay, we're going to use all of our resources and all of our energy to separate ourselves from the people who need us and from the world. We're not going to be defiled by them. But the pure and undefiled religion before God and Father is to look after those who need help. It's to get into the world, not to be defiled by it, but to get our hands dirty, to work among those who need our help. So we continue to give. We continue to support our church, which has all of these ministries which are reaching out into our world and our community. And sometimes it gets burdensome and it gets hard, and we're giving another penny even though we don't feel like we can give another penny. And we don't always see the work that's being done. And we're reminded in Galatians 6:9, we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. God says, keep giving. Keep sharing. Because there are people who still need help from the local church. God has given a blessing to the people of the earth, and that blessing is our local church. And I don't just mean our church here in Robinson, but the church worldwide. And He has blessed us specifically with a wonderful church family in Robinson at First Baptist Church that is meeting the needs of people as best as we can. And so our hope and our prayer is that God would bless us to be able to minister to the people who need our help, and God has given you the resources to help us with that. On a more personal level, not only do people need our help, but giving, number three, giving keeps you trusting God. You know, if you stop giving because you're short on money and finances, you immediately stop trusting that God is in control of your finances. You start trusting in the world and you start trusting in a dollar. If you're truly trusting God to provide for you, if you know that He can and He will provide for all of your needs, then there should be nothing to keep you from being obedient to Him. The problem is we start turning to the things of this world or even our own abilities, and we start trusting in ourselves other than trusting in God. When we let go of our finances, when we let go of our resources, we're saying, God, you have control of this and you're going to provide for me. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you're still there, we can reread verses 17 and 18. As a reminder, you may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. God is in control even of your finances. It's funny how we get so nervous and twitchy when we start talking about money. There's a reason why people run away when the preacher starts talking about money. It's because it's something we like to have control over. We like to know how much is in our checking account. But don't you like to know how much is in your checking account? We like to be sure that we know where our money is going. And if there's a discrepancy, we're quick to call the bank and call it out. I got a chuckle out of the audit report at our business meeting most recently. There was one check that was off by about 20 cents. And we like to know where that 20 cents went to, right? We need to know what happened there. It wasn't a big deal. We reconciled it. And thankfully, our church is very faithful in their finances. But it's a reminder that we like to know where our money is. And when we give it to God, but when we give it up, we're saying, God, I don't know what you're going to do with it. Lord, I'm trusting you even though I can't see where this is going and what it's doing. Lord, I need you to provide for my family and you've blessed me with an income. And Lord, now I'm giving that back to you and I'm trusting that you're going to continue to provide. Which leads me to my last point. In tough times, you need God's blessing the most. This will take a little bit of explanation. But in tough times, you need God's blessing the most. You know, when we feel like we're being blessed by God and we're able to give and we do, it's wonderful. We have this great trust in God. But when we're at our toughest times and we're called to continue to give, it's in those times of giving that we see God's blessing in our life the greatest. Probably the flagship passage for giving a tithe to the local church is found in the book of Malachi chapter 3. And there's a promise in Malachi that we like, that we want to hear, but we neglect. Malachi 3, starting verse 10, says, bring the full tenth, there it is, the tithe, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Now listen to this. Test me in this way, in giving your tithe, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Here's the blessing he's going to give. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Now let's realize what the blessing is here. The blessing is not give to me and I, God, will give you more money. No, the blessing is give to me and I will make sure you have what you need. I won't let that locust come and devour your field. I won't strip you away from the things and the materials that you need. The promise is to rebuke and protect. The blessing is that God provides for you even in the hardest times. Or dare I say, God provides for you especially in the hardest times. In verse 12, all the nations will consider you fortunate, even though you've given and have nothing. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Often when we have a time of blessing, we feel like we can give and it feels good to give. When we're at our lowest point and we still don't have any money to give, it's at that time when we give, we can see God's blessing even more. Now here's the irony and the practical nature of how tithing and giving to a church works. And boy, letting go and understanding this will change how our church could function. I'm not guessing at this. I'm 100% sure, and I can crunch numbers to give them to you, that every individual in this church, if every individual tithed and gave 10%, there would never be a ministry that our church would have to say no to. There would never be a person who needs help that we'd have to turn away. There would never be a time in our church where we'd have to vote on whether to spend money on a ministry or a growth or not. And I dare say there would never be a time where a member of our church would not have their needs met. either through the work of God in their lives or through the local church, through us saying we have the resources to help you. So you come to me in practical nature and say, Pastor, I've tithed just like everyone else in our church has tithed. We've given 10% and it's humbling for me to say we're even in our faithfulness and giving to God, we can't pay our electric bill this month. You know what's ironic? Is the early church, they had this same issue where they all put it in one pot and each person as they had need came. Our church could sit back and go, I can pay your electric bill this month and nobody has to know or care anything about it. We all meet each other's needs. You give to God and God gives to you. You give to God and His blessing and His provision continues to be provided. And even in our toughest times, God's blessing is most apparent in our lives. So the question is, do we continue to give when we still don't have any money? And the answer is, we always are obedient, regardless of what it costs us, regardless of the sacrifice it calls us to make. This is an area where all of us fall short in dealing with our finances, your pastor included. Every single one of us wants a hold on our finances. God says, give. Just trust me. Test me. Give it a shot and see if I don't continue to bless you. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, before we can even think about our material finances, we have to ask, have we experienced a blessing from God? Do we know what it's like to feel blessed by God? For many of you, you say, I can remember a time where God has blessed me in my wealth or in my poverty. I can remember. But for many others, you say, I've never really experienced God in that way. I've never really understood how God can take care of me because I've never really understood what it is to know this God you're talking about. Regardless of whether you give to the church or not, whether you give 10% or whether you give 0%, God's ultimate will for your life is not just for you to steward your material possessions, but to steward the soul He's given you. What are you going to do with your own life? So the question this morning is not just are you giving 10% to God, but are you giving all of your life to Christ? The question is, have you surrendered your life in such a way to say, God, I know the way I do things is wrong, and I need forgiveness for that. But I trust you to lead my life from this point forward. You're a God who knows all things and can give me all things that I need. So this morning, as we come to our time of invitation, we ask first and foremost, have we surrendered our lives? And then secondly, have we surrendered our material possessions? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for meeting my every need. Lord, there's not a single need I have that you cannot and will not provide for. God, that doesn't mean that I'll always have extra. That doesn't even mean I'll always be able to pay all my bills. What that means is you know what's best for my life, and you'll always do what's best for my life. Lord, I pray that in the times of difficulty, it would grow me. In the times of abundance, it would grow me. In the times that I feel abandoned, it would grow me. In the times I feel abundant, it would grow me. Lord, I pray in all things I would trust you with my finances and with my life. Lord, we pray that we would give faithfully because of what you've given us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.